Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, how did you do it? Okay. Now, can you please open with me in Matthew chapter 8, chapter 5, beginning verses 1-8, and we will meditate on verse 8. Okay. Heavenly Father, bless thy word this evening, and hide me, Lord, behind thy cross, that nothing will be seen in me, but Lord, we magnify thy name at this hour. May we hear you speaking to each one of us. And grant us the grace, Lord, to be able to embrace thy truth and take heed of them, that we might apply them from tonight and the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7, Blessed are they, merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let's stop from there and let's continue to meditate upon this verse 8. For these are the expected characteristics of God's people in His kingdom. One of the lines that the verses that struck me this week is about verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We are all longing as believers to experience that purity of heart. And that is the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us, that we might not only be beneficiary of salvation and cleansing of our sin through His precious blood, but that we might experience a pure heart in living the new life that He has given to us. However, the context of this verse 8 is found in the situation that while Israel could not yet point to the completed work of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, because most Jewish people are expecting a Messiah that is militaristic and powerful man riding on a horse to be their king, to be their, you know, that will depend them as a nation. But unfortunately, that expectation is the opposite of what God revealed in salvation through a humble servant who came in Jerusalem, a servant who is so humble in spirit. That even when he came, many people, as he suffered in humiliation before that final submission of his life on that cross to his Father, that last breath, he suffered all that humiliation. He suffered an equal suffering so that we might be reconciled to him. He suffered because he doesn't want us to be punished as our sin deserved to be punished. And yet the people who have done this under the leadership of Rome and concocted a plan to put to death the Son of God, who did not commit any sin against Rome, against the Sanhedrin, and yet they charge a person who is faultless in every form for claiming to be the Son of God, for doing a lot of miracles. Especially some of them came on the Sabbath day, which they want to really cut a lot of evidence against him. And yet even these miracles are for the good of Israel, to express the love and concern and gentle, compassionate love of God in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. They did not see him as he is, and yet they expect him to be a man of strong stature, ready to really exercise his power over his enemies and defend, in general, the people of Israel. But that he did not come that way. He came as a humble man, gentle in spirit, and submissive to his Father's will. Israel has forgotten the words of 1 Samuel 16:7, which says, "For God sees not as man see. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." No matter how pious most of these religious leaders, including Nicodemus, who is a Pharisee, and the scribes, no matter how pious they are in the sight of men, they were on the outside. No matter how outwardly religious they are, even the rigid laws and the tradition of men could do nothing to cleanse their hearts. If they were honest enough with themselves, even the religious elite, these are the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the members of the Sanhedrin, they are the religious elite in Jerusalem at the time of our Lord Jesus Christ, at that week of his suffering in being crucified on the cross. The religious elite understood that the law was not enough to save them, although they try to magnify on even one law, to continually do it, but that even that perfect way of trying to do the law, even the Word of God says, failing to do one of the commandments is actually a failure, a total failure on that standard, because no man, not even this religious elite, could actually perfectly perform that law, the traditions of Judaism. Nicodemus For example, was the teacher of Israel, a teacher of the law, in chapter 10, chapter 3 of John, verse 10. Yet he knew that a required righteousness of the law is before him. Every religious leader in Israel, they know that a perfect righteousness of completing the law could not even, no one could do them. And even if you do the nine and fail the other one, you fail God's standard. And they know that failing God's standard of righteousness could not provide salvation for their souls or justification before God to cover up their sin. Even their prayers publicly could not attract God's righteousness or kindness to lift God's anger or punishment against sin. Everywhere our Lord Jesus Christ went in his personal ministry throughout Israel, particularly in Jerusalem, on this last day of week of his suffering at crucifixion, everywhere our Lord Jesus Christ went, the question was the same. What shall I do to inherit life? In Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Ask that question. In this simple beatitude that we just read, Christ is saying that, on verse 8, that eternal life is not available on anything you can do to justify one's righteousness or good works before God. The purity of heart, Christ referred to in Matthew 5, verse 8, we just read, is the result of God's work alone, not man's work. Although Judaism and their law is so paramount in their heart that even aiming to complete them, even one law, actually, to perfectly perform it day by day, no one can perfectly perform it because of man's failure, man's sin. So only God's good work through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ is man able to be justified before God. Not anyone's work. As Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of works, it is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. This is the work the Lord promised to do long ago. Tonight we will explore two considerations how a believer can experience a purity of heart. First one, the way, mark this one, the way you think determines the way you behave. In other words, you must think on the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is concerned about the way we all think. That's why Paul said in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Philippians 4:8, Apostle Paul continued to instruct us to think about that which is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good report, excellent, and praiseworthy. That must occupy our minds. If we are in a state of sin and never been converted, although thinking about these things could not actually occupy our minds, because a man must be born of the Spirit of God and water. In other words, through the mercy of God, the Spirit must actually give life to us who are dead in sin. We must be given spiritual life, spiritual longing, to be awakened of who we are, a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That must be our awareness. All of us are sinners. And the wage of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Not only physical death, but eternal death, which is a permanent separation. But the hope is that no matter how worse sinner we are, the free gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work the Lord promised to do. That's why God is very concerned on the conditions of every man's heart. When Jesus spoke of a pure heart in Matthew chapter 5 verse 8, he was talking about sanctified thinking. In other words, our minds are no longer controlled by the desire of the flesh, but by the longing of the Holy Spirit is saying and whispering to us in a sweet voice, this is the way to walk. This is the way to go. Do them. This is God's constant manifestation of His voice to us, that we will be obedient to His commandments, so that our minds will be always a sanctified mind and or thinking. That's why in Romans 12:2, if we're going to go back to that quickly, Romans 12:1-2, it is a constant reminder of the Apostle Paul how we're going to think so that we will behave according to a heart that is pure in the sight of God. Romans 12. This is the exhortation to every believer. It says, in Romans 12:1-2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what is sanctified thinking is. We will no longer be conformed to this world, what the dictates of the flesh or the old self sometimes tempt us by the temptation of the enemy of our soul, the devil. But we can be saved from that temptation if we're going to pray and ask God's help, so that when we pray and meditate upon the Word of God, we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That is sanctified thinking, which our Lord Jesus Christ is mentioning in our reading in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 5, which says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Isn't that our longing as believers? We love to have that sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord. Not only when we pray, but even in our conscious awakening day, 8 hours or 12 hours a day, we can be conscious of His constant leadership in the power of the Holy Spirit. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We long to see God, isn't it? God at work in our lives. We long to feel His presence and His leadership.
Amen.
And More often than not, sometimes that is cut short when we learn that, because sometimes the old flesh try to take charge of our lives. And we don't hear the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. This is the way to go. Walk in them. So sanctified thinking is foremost in our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." What a blessed experience, isn't it, when we walk closely with the Lord. And people see that as well. When we see it, when we feel God's leadership, our close communion with him, and our constant cleansing and confessing of our sin, lead us to this experience. And when we know it, people see it. And that is the difference of our witness to other people. Whether we talk about the gospel, or whether we are ministering to those in need, like our Lord Jesus Christ ministering to all types of people in Israel to meet their physical and spiritual needs. That is his ministry. To be a blessing to a lot of people desperate, not only of a physical needs and other needs, particularly the salvation of their soul. We long to experience that. And I pray that in our meditation tonight, that our Lord Jesus pray that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. How wonderful it is, how blessed it is to be able to pray that prayer for us to experience this close walk with God. The Greek word translated heart in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 5 is cardia, from which we get the word cardia. We have a disease, cardiac arrest, isn't it? Which can determine death because of too much fats or complication of the valves of the heart, two valves, the upper and the lower ventricle. And that demonstrates also that the heart, when it is filled with God, with the grace of God, and our communion with God, experience great joy and blessings with God. But when it's filled with sin, we feel like we are dying. We don't have the blessing of God. That's why it's very important to realize that the heart is a paramount concern of the Lord, so that the contents of our heart is about his grace and mercy and sweet fellowship with him and the love of Christ and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. While we often relate the heart to the emotion, like for instance, when we say he has a broken heart, the Bible relates it primarily to the intellect. Like for instance, when we say out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, slanders. In Matthew 15 verse 19, whatever the mind is conditioned to think, that becomes our heart's condition. What we put in our minds becomes what is in our hearts. That's why it's good to remember that in Matthew chapter 12 verse 2, that we will always offer our body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. So that while we are offering a living sacrifice, our body, we must set our minds not to be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, which only God can do through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In a secondary way, however, there is another verse which should condition our minds to experience that awareness of purity in heart. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, that's why we must watch over your heart with all diligence. In other words, the diligence of pursuing that what is good, what is holy, what is of good report, everything that glorifies God, we must pursue with diligence. And that refers us back again to Romans chapter 1, that we must offer our body as a living sacrifice, allowing our minds to be changed from glory to glory according to the minds of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is through the scriptures. And then in a secondary way, our heart relates to the will and emotions because they are influenced by the intellect. If you are committed to something that is very important, anything that is important, it will affect your will. You will be disturbed because that is something important. Your heart will be disturbed, which will in turn affect our emotions. That's why if we feel a very important engagement without any big excuse, or even there is big excuse, we feel disappointed. Our hearts fill with emotions. Why did I do this? Why did I fail to do this? There's no excuse, isn't it? And our heart is affected. The other Greek word translated pure, in Matthew, the pure in heart, so we tackle the heart, but the word pure, it means to cleanse. To cleanse. In the moral sense, it speaks of being free from the filth of sin. From the filth of sin. That's why God cannot coexist in our hearts or any people if there is sin in our hearts. That's why, is that Proverbs or Amos? That a sin is something that is not glorifying to God. It's a reproach to people. But righteousness is an honor to the nation and to God for that matter. It also refers to something that is the word pure, it refers something to that is unmixed, unalloyed, or unadulterated purity. Spiritual integrity and sincere motives are appropriate applications of its meaning to the Christian life. In other words, we must not only think that this is the way to go, we must stand on it. We must be ready to apply ourselves to purity and not to allow ourselves to be affected by moral temptations, immoral temptations, which is the love of the flesh. And it's also repair not only spiritual integrity but sincere motives. Our motives must always be sincere, that glorifies God. That if we fail to do it, our hearts is pricked, that we want to go back to God and ask forgiveness and ready to do it again for His glory, without any failure. Jesus, our Lord, was saying to the kingdom citizen, which is us redeemed people, He's saying to us, kingdom citizens, that we are blessed because He or she has pure thoughts. We, in the singular, individually, when we have pure thoughts and pure motives, that together produce only living and righteous living. Someone might claim to be a religious person, like the Pharisees, and have pure motives, but if his behavior isn't righteous in the sight of God, his heart isn't fixed on God. Similarly, we can go to a church and carry a Bible and recite verses like our young people, but if our heart isn't clean, maybe she lost. Okay, thank you. So, if we are even carrying a Bible when we go to church and recite verses, but if your heart isn't clean, you haven't met God's standard. We must do the will of God from a pure heart, according to Ephesians 6. Let's open to that verse once more. Ephesians 6, verse 6. It says here, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from a pure heart. If you don't have that purity in heart, our obedience is affected. That's why sometimes half-heartedness is not good. Half-hearted service is not acceptable in the sight of God. That's why those who offered sacrifice and are given to the Levitical priest to offer that sacrifice, a defective sheep or goat cannot be accepted. It must be a perfect sacrifice. In the same way that if our worship to God and service to God, and whatever, in whatever form, of course, worship is a service to God. But if we are half-hearted, we cannot experience the blessing of worshiping God. It must be full. Our heart must be pure. That's why when we come, it's good to pray that God will prepare our hearts to worship Him in the Spirit and in truth. So, towards that end, that when we worship God or serve God with a pure heart, towards that hand, make David's prayer become ours as well. In 51 verse 10 of Psalm 51 verse 10, he said, and pray, create in me a clean heart, O God. Psalm 51 verse 10. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. You see, even though he sinned against God, he realized that going to the temple in his leadership as a king is affected. He cannot perform his task that is acceptable to God. He knows that. In the same way, we as Christians, if we serve God with half-heartedness, that won't work. Our witness to other people is just like a passing sin that never speaks of the glory of God. It's so important to have a pure heart. And now we'll come to the second point of consideration to have a pure heart. The second one is, we have a part to play in becoming pure in heart. Purifying A heart is the gracious and miraculous work of the Holy Spirit. But there are some things we must do in response to His promptings. First, we must admit we cannot purify our own hearts. Proverbs 20, verse 9 says, "Who can say, I have cleansed my heart, I am pure from my sin?" If we're going to be honest, at any point in time, if we don't have a pure heart, the inspired answer, an honest answer, is no one. No one can say before God, I have a cleansed heart, if we don't confess our sin to Him. And so that's the first one. We must admit we cannot purify our own hearts. We must always go to the precious blood of the Lamb, our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why 1 John 1 is always applicable. If we confess our sin, whenever we sin, in one way or another, we must quickly confess that sin and come to our Savior. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. He's waiting for us to confess those sin, to have a new cleansed conscience. That's why King David is so desirous, he's crying before God in that moment of unguarded moment of his life that he sinned against God. And he was punished for that sin. Even though when he confessed that sin, the punishment for that sin must come in the life of David, so that God will make him realize that sin is acceptable and hurtful in the sight of God. It's painful to the heart of God. That's why he was punished for that sin. That's why it's good to confess sin all the time, that it will not invite a lot of punishment in due course. And next, we must put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whose sacrifice on the cross is the basis for our cleansing. Acts 15 verse 9 says, God cleanses our hearts on the basis of faith. On the basis of faith, we come reminding of the compassion of God. We must take that by faith. And the Spirit is always saying to us, this is the way to go. Confess your sin to God. And receive cleansing. Of course, our faith must be placed in the right object. That is the object of God's compassion through our Lord Jesus Christ. John 1 7 says, if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And finally, we must study the Bible and pray. The psalmist said, we keep our way pure by keeping it according to God's word, which we must treasure in our hearts. We'll see Psalm 119 quickly, verse 9 and 11. Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11. Let me quote it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. So, memorizing and concentrating and meditating upon the word of God help us to avoid temptation. I was given a Bible along this line by our Filipino pastor serving alongside an American pastor back in the Philippines. when I first met my wife there as a young people. He wrote there as a gift to me after baptism. Remember, Ernie, reading the Word of God keeps you away from sin. However, that's a big however, failing to read the Word of God makes you sin. Without reading the Word of God, we are a prey, constant prey to the devil. That without an occupation of the things that glorify God, anything that glorifies God, if we are not thinking along those lines that fills our minds, or the Word of God, then the devil will occupy those time in our thinking. That's why David made that terrible mistake. Instead of fighting with his men in the battle, he was left on his own on the palace. And there you go, he was tempted. But then he repented of that sin. As we pray and submit to the Word of God and our meditation of God's Word, the Spirit purifies our lives. Let's continue to pray to begin to live in His presence, and will become increasingly aware of His working in our individual lives by praying with God's help after we study the Word of God in our own individual closet. You will recognize His power and handiwork in the beauty and intricacy of creation. According to Psalm 19, you will discern His grace and purposes amidst trials, and will learn to praise Him in all things. You will sense His ministry through other Christians. And the Lord uses other brothers and sisters in the Lord to send them along the way to minister to our needs. That's why our lives can be used for God's glory, to strengthen one another. Aaron sharpening its other. Aaron sharpening upon its other. You will experience that ministry of other Christians, and we will see His sovereignty in every event of our lives. In other words, the sovereignty of God is ruling every event. And in His providence, you know what the word providence is? It's God's way of fulfilling every event, weaving every event, whether evil or good or discouraging or sorrows and joy, war and peace, disunity in an organization or in the church or in the family, God can weave them together for good. Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. So that we should not be discouraged when we experience a lot of discouraging moments, hurtful moments in our lives. All of us knows what this emotional part of our lives can be. All of us, one way or the other, experience that sorrow and pain that other people cause to us. Or sometimes we make our own self-inflicting events. And sometimes we don't understand why this comes to our way. But the Holy Spirit makes us understand. And He's always saying, go back. Go back to your first love, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. When that first love is not in our hearts, then we can sense it. Other people can sense it as well. So let's be mindful that despite our trials and tribulations, God can transform all these events for His glory and for our benefit. Life takes on a profound and eternal meaning as you share Christ with unbelievers. and see Him transform lives. See, God gave us the good news so that we will not only store it in our own hearts. And the more we share that good news and occupy our time when we have that opportunity, that God will bless. Whether we fail it or not, we failed, some people did not respond, it's still for the glory of God. Because we are obeying His commandment to occupy that time, to occupy that moment in which we can say a word in season and out of season. It's like what the Apostle Paul told his disciple, told his son in the faith, Timothy. Preach the word in season and out of season. In other words, preach the word all the time. All the time. In other words, live the word of God all the time. Read the word of God all the time. Whether we feel not prone to do it, or prone to go away from God, ask God's help. And don't let that situation discourage us. And in conclusion, there is no greater joy than knowing that you are pure before God because of God's help, and that your life is honoring to Him. May that joy be yours today and be ours today. And may God use each one of us this week in a powerful way for His glory. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we pray, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for reminding us that blessed is the man who has pure in heart, for they shall see God. Lord, we long to see you. We long to experience your presence and leadership in our lives. Complete it, Lord, in our lifetime. Complete it today and tonight, that we might have a joyous experience of communion with thee, and the joy of instructing us in your holy word, and give each one of us that obedient spirit. Forgive us if we failed that so many times, Lord Jesus. Please cleanse us from wandering from thy presence like a lost sheep. Forgive us from being lazy, being tired, putting first the work of the flesh in any form. And thank you that even when we are tired of sin, you always direct us to come back to you. Help us, like David, renew a steadfast spirit within me, O Lord, and complete thy work of grace on a daily basis, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We'll sing